Let the church say amen. Amen. Let the church say amen again. Amen. And one more time for the Holy Spirit. Amen. We greet you in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we do count it joy to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen. You've been blessed through the praises of God this morning. The choir has done a great job. I was sitting up top listening to the song of praise, and we thank the Lord for the praises of God. And as I was sitting up top listening to the effectual fervency of prayer and Reverend CC's faithfulness of her family situation, and her son, whom she's waited for so many years to be on this side of the Atlantic Ocean, has now taken ill, but she is a faithful woman of God. And the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. And so not only for her, but for all of us gathered here in the sanctuary, may you never forget the fervency of prayer. God hears our prayers and will answer our cries. And now, as we have praised and we have prayed, we now want to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the third P, I want you to stand to your feet and let's turn in your Bibles with me to the book of the Gospel of St. Luke. The Gospel of St. Luke. I want you to turn to the 15th chapter. Familiar parable that our Lord Jesus gave to his disciples, the parable of the prodigal son. Amen. Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 32. Say amen when you locate the text. The Bible reads starting in verse number 11. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, somebody say came to himself. He said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he rose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against you, heaven, and your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put on a ring on his hand, and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safely and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Here is the reading of God's divine and eternal word. Men edify, men sanctify the people of God. I would that you pray with me on the title of this sermon today. Wake up and come to yourself. Wake up and come to yourself. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will indeed be acceptable in your eyesight. For we believe, Lord, that you are our strength and you are our Redeemer. I pray this prayer not only for myself, but may the words of all of our mouths, may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable before thee, O God. Prepare us to receive the message that you have ordained for us at this time, not only as a church body, but as individual believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that we would have eyes to see it, ears to hear it, hearts to receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. I plead the blood of Jesus over everyone under the sound of my voice, both those now and those who shall hear this sermon later, God, in the name of Jesus. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that your anointing would fall fresh in this place, that indeed we would not be the same when we leave here as when we came. And so I pray now that you would hide us behind the cross, cover us under the blood, and keep us under the anointing. In the name of Jesus, we pray that the saints of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, 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 and amen. You may be seated. Hold that for me. Hold that. I want to continue this morning in the third installment of what's going to be at least a 10-part sermon series around our corporate study of the book, D-Free. And so I'm going to have the book every Sunday. And as you heard the announcement, we have ordered more books. They are available. And so we want you to get your book, read the book, and make sure that you share with us in our Bible studies. We have had now 2 weeks of study. Ushers, you may be seated. 2 weeks of study, and I pray that those of you who've come to the studies have found yourself enlightened and engaged, and that you feel the gravitas, the importance of why we're doing this. The sermons on Sunday reinforce the Bible study, prepare us for the Bible studies. The Bible studies reinforce Sunday sermon. And the messages are bigger than just about money. As I've shared on last Sunday, the book is explicitly about the angle of our financial slavery. But I extrapolate this conversation in our Bible study to be more about slavery and strongholds of any sort in our lives. And I contend that all of us have strongholds with which we are dealing. All of us have some area of our lives that the devil is using to keep us in bondage. All of us are battling with some addictive behavior, some appetite that has become uncontrollable, some desires that have become flammable, some interests that have become destructive. And so we must take inventory of the things and even in some cases the people that are in our lives and how we move towards greater freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a believer, and I think John chapter 8 continues to reinforce one of the essential messages of the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? He came that we may have freedom, right? That the truth shall make you free. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And so these messages about freedom are right in alignment with Reverend Dr. Soares' teaching about freedom from financial slavery. And so whether it is finances or emotional issues or some social relationships or some professional challenges, whatever the bondage is, whatever the stronghold is, whatever the issue is, whoever the people are, I believe God wants us to break free. And so this study is about the financial lens, but it's really about the freedom to break free from anything, anybody, anything that might be seeking to destroy us. Let me quote a couple of quotes out of today's third chapter, or this week's study of the third chapter of the book. And if you've gone through the book and have come to the studies, the first chapter was about admitting the problem. The second chapter was about addressing the mess that we may find ourselves in. And this third chapter is about adjusting the attitude. So admitting the problem, addressing the mess, and then adjusting the attitude. You know, last week I shared out of the gospel, or the book of Proverbs, verse chapter 23, verse number 7, that said, as a person thinks in his heart, as a man thinks in his heart, so is that person. And so last week's sermon, Matters of the Heart, was intended to also deal very much with what Reverend Dr. Soares is dealing with regards to adjustment of attitude, right? Attitude comes both in mind and in heart. What we think ought not be separated from what we feel. What we feel ought not be separated from what we think. And so therefore, as we think in our hearts, so will we become. If you believe you're a grasshopper, then you will hop around like a grasshopper. Amen, somebody. Right? Because that's biblical. Joshua said that the spies came and said, we're like grasshoppers in our own sight. Right? We don't believe we can conquer the land. We don't believe we can take the promised land. We don't believe that the promise that you've set for us, God, is something that we can obtain and attain for ourselves. And how sad when God has told you something and you don't believe what God said. And many of us are in that mindset, where God has promised, God has stated, God has restated, God has reiterated, and yet we find ourselves in the unenviable position of not believing what the Lord said. And so at some point we've got to ask ourselves, do we really believe the Lord? Do we really trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding, or are we really leaning to our own understanding? Joshua, one of my favorite biblical characters, said, no. We're not like grasshoppers in our own sight. We can take the land, Moses. And so Joshua and Caleb not only addressed the issue or not only admitted the problem, right? The problem was, can we get over there? They addressed the mess, because some folks said we can't. They were the few who said we can. And they also had an attitudinal adjustment. And so today I want to talk about this third component in Reverend Soares' book, the attitudinal adjustment, the adjustment of attitude. There are a couple of key statements that I like to make out of this third chapter, and we will reemphasize them and go over them in deeper reflection in our Bible studies this week. Number one, from page 62, Reverend Soares says, while I recognize that this parable, meaning the parable that I've read to you today, the parable of the lost son, is not primarily about money, it's striking how often throughout the Gospels Jesus uses stories that involve money to teach spiritual lessons. And so the teachings of the principles of the gospel or the kingdom of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ is not devoid of using, Jesus is not ashamed or unabashed about using different angles to get our attention about gospel principles. And so this particular aspect of the the gospel or of this parable that I'm going to share with you today is one that he uses prominently in this third chapter of his book. And the prodigal son is a story that all of us should have at the forefront of our minds when it comes to our own relationship to the Lord. On page 65, Reverend Stories makes another quote. I want to cite another quote that he says. He says, "This practice of writing down an inventory of expenditures could apply equally well to your spiritual life. Becoming more aware of our thoughts and how they translate into attitudes and get actualized in our behavior can benefit every area of our lives." So he makes the argument that in your financial area of your life, you not only have to admit that you have a problem, you not only have to address the mess and forthrightly, but that you have an adjustment in attitude. And part of that is writing down what your income and your expenditures are and being very free with yourself. He makes several quotes in the book in this chapter. He says, tell yourself the truth, right? Tell yourself the truth of your situation. Tell yourself the truth of the agony that you're dealing with. And a lot of us, Pastor Stories will argue financially, and I would argue psychologically, we self-medicate ourselves instead of telling ourselves the truth. And so self-medication comes in the form of all these things, whether it is shopping, whether it is eating, whether it is gambling, where we feed the appetite as opposed to acknowledging the veracity of the situation in which we find ourselves. And that's part of the problem, he says. I said last week, any AA program, regardless, or any self-help program, the first thing they're going to start with is admit the problem, right? Tell yourself that you once were an addict and you may still be an addict. And so therefore, I am who I am and I'm dealing with what I'm dealing with. But every day I wake up, I'm going to take a step further away from where I was. So I'm not where I want to be, but I thank God I'm not where I used to be. I'm on a journey. I'm on a journey. And I thank the Lord that we're all on a spiritual journey, because you can point at somebody else's addiction, but there are a couple of fingers pointing back at your addiction. And so some of us in this parable today will see ourselves as the prodigal son. We want equality. We want fairness. We want justice. Why is he getting all of that? Why is she getting all of that? She's a Johnny come lately. I've been at church longer than she has. Why does she have that opportunity? I may step on one or two toes this morning, but I'm sure I'm telling the truth. Amen, somebody. And so these statements of the truth of the prodigal son is within all of us. And so Reverend Stories uses the story of the prodigal son and talks about the industrious father, the impetuous son, and the jealous big brother or the jealous brother. And so, you know, preachers preach this sermon all the time, and they take different angles. What about the angle of the son? What about the angle of the big brother or the brother? What about the angle of the father? What about the angle of the servants, right, who observed all of this, watched all this go on? And so today I want to share from the angle of the son, because all of us have to have our wake-up moment. All of us have to have our aha moment, because if we're really going to get beyond our strongholds, we all have to come to that aha moment that, you know what, I'm better than this. You know what, I don't have to deal with this. You know what, God made me better than this. You know what, God has more for me than this. You know what, I don't deserve this. You know what, I'm tired of being walked on. You know what, I'm tired of being taken for granted. I'm tired of being used and abused. I'm tired of being the butt of somebody else's jokes. I am wonderfully and fearfully made in the image of God. Why am I settling for this? Why am I down here in the swine den hanging out with the pigs? Come on, somebody. Let's be real ourselves. Because all of us at some point in our lives have found ourselves in situations in which we have had to scratch our head and say, number one, how did I get here? And number two, why am I remaining here? And number three, do I really believe that God has more for me? And I'm just one of them crazy persons that believe the Lord has more for me. And I don't know about you, but I want to run on and see what the end is going to be. I want to run and see what the Lord has for me. I want to move move and get more to where God has me to go in the blessed name of Jesus our Christ. One of the deacons, help out over here, please. And so as we are facilitating and moving towards this aspect of where God wants us to be, we continue in the name of the Lord Jesus to say, Lord, I want more than where I am. I want more than what I have in the blessed name of Jesus our Christ. Let's make sure we also have our nurse. We have a nurse in the sanctuary. Someone please just come and help attend to the situation that we're dealing with here. We don't need more than necessary. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And so as we continue to just thank the Lord for the fact that he is able to do more than we could imagine, we ask the Lord to continue to show us a way that is better than where we are right now. In Jesus' name. I want you to pause with me for a moment of prayer. Just bow your heads with me in a moment of prayer. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, interceding on behalf of Rebecca Mitchell right now in Jesus' name. We call on the resources of heaven, believing that you are able to do everything but fail. And so, Lord, right now, I don't know all that is going on, but you are in control, and we appeal to your divine guidance and leadership in this situation. Father, bless her right now. Lord, Father, continue to just be with her, for you said in your word that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And so right now, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, and I ask, Holy Spirit, that the anointing power that has wrapped yourself around us, that you would wrap yourself around Rebecca Mitchell right now in Jesus' sweet name. We know that you are God and above you there is no other. So have your way, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the saints of God say together, amen, amen, and amen. Let's give God a praise offering in advance for the fact that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we ever could imagine. Many of you didn't know exactly what was happening, but we had to take one of the members out, and we are making sure that she gets medical attention in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. And so this story of the prodigal son is relevant for the book. It is relevant for our finances, but more importantly, it is relevant for our spiritual lives. And so the story starts off, but before I even get into the story, understand what Jesus is doing in the text. In the entirety of the 15th chapter, he uses three examples of something that was lost that is now found. At the beginning of the chapter, he talks about the lost sheep, doesn't he? And then just a few verses after that, he talks about the lost coin. And then just a few verses after that, he begins this story of the lost son. And so part of the story today is understanding what the songwriter, the great songwriter, said, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see." Have anybody ever been lost in a situation? Anybody ever been lost in circumstances of life? Everybody ever been lost in the morass of decision making that you have to make? Anybody ever been lost in the burdens that have been upon you? Anybody ever been lost? You didn't know how you got here, don't know how you're going to get out? Well, I just stop by to tell somebody, the God we serve is able to save the lost. He was able to save the lost sheep. He was able to find the lost coin. He was able to find the lost son. And I just have some news for you. He's able to find you in your lostness. Come on, somebody. The Lord is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we ever could imagine, ask, or think. So in those moments when you are feeling lost, that's when you have to appeal to the Word. I'm going to trust in the Lord with all of my heart. I'm not going to lean to my own understanding in everything and in all of my ways. I'm going to acknowledge that God is God, and above Him there is no other. And I'm just going to be foolish enough to believe that He will direct my path when I don't know how to get out. He will direct my path when I don't know how to get over. He'll direct my path when I don't know how to get under. He'll direct
the Lord Jesus. So I don't want you to miss the essential message that Jesus is talking about. We all have moments of lostness. And that's why you got to wake up and come to yourself. The story is clear. The prodigal one wanted what daddy had before daddy was ready to give it to him. Daddy, I want my inheritance. Right? Interestingly enough, daddy doesn't make a big fight over the issue, because there's some things that parents have come to realize in teaching their children, I can show you better than I can tell you. Am I right? I'm just 7 years into this parenting thing. And there's some things I've just realized I'm wasting my breath, Brother Joshua, and telling Amaris. There's some things she's just going to have to learn for herself. Daniel's going to have to learn for himself. I'll be there to scrape up the knees and patch them up and to catch them before they hit hard on the ground. But there's some things they're going to have to learn for themselves. So it's fascinating to me that when the son comes and says to his father, give me my inheritance. And so the scripture says in verse number 12, so he divided to them his livelihood. Now what's fascinating here is it did not simply say he divided to him his livelihood. He divided to them his livelihood, which would presuppose that the other son also got something out of the deal. And yet we rarely talk about that aspect of what did he get and why is he so angry with his brother that when he comes back home. And so the story goes on. We know the story. Verse number 13. And not many days afterward, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there what? Wasted his possessions on prodigal living. Now, Reverend Sorries is very clear in his book about prodigal living. Right? A lot of us don't want to see ourselves as the prodigal son or the prodigal daughter. But the fact of the matter is many of us have went to God and said, Daddy, I want to do this right now. And there's some of us who are still wanting what you want, when you want it, how you want it, and really don't care whether God has the timing for you. And so you want to do, and if you're big and bad enough to go ahead and do it, then we've got to be big and bad enough to endure the consequences of what comes our way. Amen, somebody. Right? Some of us don't want to admit that we're prodigal. Right? I want it. I want my inheritance. I want the car. I want the iPhone. I want the iPad. I want the dress. I want the shoes. Right? I'm using the material stuff, but for others of you, it's not material, it's relational. I want him. And I want her. And be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it. And some of y'all who've been praying so bad for him and her, now that you have him and her, you want to figure out how to wrap them back up and send them where they came from. Prodigal living. You want what you want when you want it. So don't be too harsh on the prodigal son, because a lot of us have prodigalness in us. And Reverend Sorries uses again the financial lens to say many of us are spending above our means. Many of us are not managing our income well. And there's a story here that matches that very statement, right? He wasted his possessions on prodigal living. He fed his appetites. He went after what he wanted. Some might say that he was bold and audacious, and right, he did the old Latin phrase carpe diem, seize the moment, take advantage of the time, don't live life with the regrets. But if you don't put God first, you will regret living life without regrets. Amen, somebody. So the prodigal son took all that he had, wasted it, and found himself eating slop with the pigs. Now, he was thankful that he had a job, but and some man gave him a job in the swine den. But at some point in verse number 17, it says it very clearly, but when he came to himself, somebody say came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? And right there, I need all of us to keep asking ourselves the question, the rhetorical question. The son had a father, and you and I have a father, and the father is in heaven. And Jesus taught us to pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And so when we miss that fact on earth, when we can go to our Father and say, Father, I have not because I ask not. Father, I am made in your image. Father, I am better than this. Father, I am more than a conqueror. Father, I am where I am, but I'm sorry that I'm where I am, because I acknowledge that the reason I am where I am is because I got ahead of myself. I got before myself. I did not submit my will to your will. And I just stopped by to tell someone, anytime you don't submit your will to God's will and you get ahead of God, you will find yourself down with the swine. Jesus, in one of his parables, talks about not casting your pearls to swine. Swine, as much as we may like it as a delicacy, right, is often referred in scripture as animals that have negative connotations. It was into the swine that Jesus released the legion of spirits and ran them off a cliff. Come on, somebody. It is the swine that our Hebrew brothers and sisters are told to stay away from. And it is the swine that some of us need to stay away from. Let me just throw that one in there free of charge. I'm not talking about weight. I'm talking about the cholesterol buildup in your arteries that can make a silent killer out of the stuff that we're putting inside of our bodies. Now, whether, you know, the whole issue of food and cleanliness and uncleanliness is a whole nother sermon. But it's interesting to me that when you see swine in scripture, it usually has a negative connotation. And so this prodigal son is now with the swine. And he says to himself, how many of my father's other servants have more than what I have? How many of my father's other servants have some to spare? And here's the interesting thing. How many of my father's servants are his son? And if they've got more to spare, I should have more than what they have. I am my father's son. And so therefore, why am I where I am? I need to get up from where I am. I need to not only acknowledge the mess, I need to not only acknowledge the issue and address the mess, but I need to have an attitude, a change, adjustment in my mind and say, I am better than who I am right now. And that is the precise moment that psychologists and psychiatrists disagree on. What causes behavioral change? Is it just attitude or mindset? Or is there something else that goes on into what changes our behavior? Because this son in verse 17 had an aha moment. And in his aha moment, what did he do?
Verse number 18 says it very clearly, doesn't it? In his after his aha moment, the prodigal son, it says in verse number 18, I will arise and go to my father.
and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned before you. And here's the interesting thing that I can't fully explain, right? Whether as a cognitive behavioralist or as a behavioral psychologist, the interesting thing is, what makes people get up from their situation and say, I've had enough of where I am? There's one thing for us to stay in our situations, but it's another thing to have your aha moment and say, I've had enough. I'm going to rise and get up from where I am and go to my Father. And I cannot explain it fully, but I'm here to tell you, everybody in here needs to have an aha moment in which they say, I've had enough. I'm going to arise and go to my Father. And right there, you can take yourself out of the prodigalness of the situation. Because when you say, I've had enough, I'm going to arise and go back to my Father, that's all God wants to hear. Not that he's not going to deal with where you've been, but I want you to know where you're coming will always outweigh where you've been. And I'm here to tell someone, God is looking for you to arise and get up and go back to the Father. Because when you go back to the Father, there's some good things waiting for you. When you go back to the Father, there's forgiveness waiting for you. When you go back to the Father, there's a warm embrace waiting for you. When you go back to the Father, there's a celebration waiting for you. When you go back to the Father, there's some new clothes waiting for you. When you go back to the Father, there's a brand new meal waiting for you. When you go back to the Father, God's going to give you something that you never had before, and that's grace and mercy. Jeremiah said it this way. Morning by morning, new mercies. See, some of y'all missed it right there. New mercies. I know I got some mercy yesterday, but the morning, this morning, I woke up, I got some new mercy. Anybody has some new mercy? I'm so grateful for new mercy, because old yesterday wore out. It was for yesterday. But today, I've got some new mercy. I've got some new grace. Thank you, Lord, for looking beyond my faults. Thank you, Lord, for saving a wretch like me. Thank you, Lord, for giving me not a third chance, but another chance. Thank you, Lord, for throwing my sins into the sea of forgetfulness. Thank you, Lord. Anybody got a thank you, Lord, in their spirit today? Morning by morning, new mercy. New mercy I see. The Son has a aha moment in which he says, I'm better and I'm going to get up. Because it's one thing to say I'm better than this, but it's another thing to get up. And there's some women who are in broken, messed up, abusive relationships. And I know it's hard, but the first step to safety is taking that step saying, towards saying, I'm getting out of this. There's some professional abuse going on in some of your jobs. And I know that we say never quit a job till you get a job. But there's some things I'm not going to compromise my dignity on. There's some things I'm going to trust the Lord. If that means taking a step out on faith, because the Lord has said, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches. You are not supposed to be somebody's doormat. You are better than this. I will arise and go back to my Father. I'm not going to take this any longer. I'm not going to put up with this abuse any longer. And even if it is self-inflicted. Listen now. There's some kind of abuse that is self-inflicted. And there's other kinds of abuse that come upon us simply because. And I'm here to deal with the self-inflicted abuse. And the answer and the antidote in the prodigal son story is that I will arise and go back to my Father. Amen. and tell my father I have sinned. I've messed up. Now, I debated on which text to preach today, but the Lord led me back to Luke. I was going to go to 1 John 1 and 9, which says, if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here's the point, that we do have to go back to God and say, Lord, I did mess up. So it's one thing to arise and want to get the grace and the mercy of God, but you also have to confess. And I tell folk, confession is with the mouth. You need to say to the Lord, Lord, I messed up. Lord, I got ahead of myself. Lord, I sought something I should not have sought. Lord, I bought something I should not have bought. Lord, I wanted something I should not have wanted. Lord, I went somewhere I should not have gone. Lord, I did something I should not have done. You've got to tell yourself the truth and tell God all about it, because he already knows all of our trouble. Come on, somebody. He already knows where we were. Just go ahead and tell him about it. He knows what we said. He knows where we went. He knows what we did. He knows how much we did it. He knows how late we were doing it. Come on, somebody. Tell yourself the truth and tell God the truth. If you confess your sins, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The prodigal son had his aha moment. He woke up and he came to himself. Now the story ends, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the ending, because we know the ending is that there's a jealousy in the son, the other son, the brother. But look at the father's words. He says it twice. It is twice mentioned in the text. He says in verse number 24, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. At the end, verse number 32, he says, it was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Now, in contemporary language, our current generation would say that the brother who was not the prodigal brother was hating on the prodigal brother. Yeah, that's the contemporary language. There may even be a new word that I don't even know yet, right? If some of you in the 70s and 80s, you would say, they smile in your face all the time, want to take your place. Y'all know the backstabbers. So whether it's the contemporary generation of being a player hater or the 70s generation of being a backstabber, the brother was being a hater, a backstabber, and a player hater. But the fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter what they say. All that matters is what the father says. And the father says, you were once lost and now you are found. It's time to celebrate. You were once out, but now you're back in. It's time to celebrate. You were once down, but now you're back up. It's time to celebrate. You were once out of the church, but now you're back in the church. It's time to celebrate. You didn't know the Lord, but now you know him for yourself. It's time to celebrate. You used to be a deacon, used to be a deaconess, whatever reason you left the board, but now you're back. It's time to celebrate. Come on, somebody. I want to be with some folk who know how to celebrate. I want to be with folk who know how to thank the Lord. I want to be with folk who know how to praise the Lord. I want to be about folk who are not backstabbing and player hating. But when you get blessed, I can praise the Lord that you got blessed, because the same God that blessed you, come on somebody, is the same God that can bless me. The God I serve is in the blessing business, and he's got more than enough. Somebody say, more than enough blessings to go around.
So don't get it twisted. You always will have some backstabbers. You always gonna have some player haters. But don't put your eyes on the player hater. Do what the psalm writer said. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. All of my help. Not just some of it. All of my help comes from the Lord. Anybody know something about the Lord's blessings today? Anybody want to celebrate the things that God has done? Hasn't he been good to you? Hasn't he brought you back into the family? Hasn't he killed the fatted calf and thrown a celebration? Thank you, Lord. It's time to celebrate. It's time to praise the Lord. It's time to lift up your hands and shout hallelujah. Thank you, God, for saving a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Thank you, Father, that you don't look at your other player-hating sons and player-hating daughters and let them block the blessings that you want to give to me, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, let the church say, amen. Let's give God a praise offering in this place. Deacons and deaconess, clergy. Somebody here needed to hear this word. Somebody here needed to hear this word. You're focusing on the player haters and the backstabbers, but God said, arise and go to him. Not to anybody else. Go to him. He's the one that can bless you. He's the one that can take care of you. Arise and go to him. In the name of Jesus. So if you're here today and you need to go beyond the haters and the stabbers, God is saying, come to me. Come to me. And I'm convinced that there's someone who needs to come to the Lord today. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Anyone here today don't have a church home? Don't have a church home. God bless you, Sister Chanel. One of the deaconesses and deacons, you all take her and have a word of prayer with her. One of our members who comes up regularly and seeks the Lord, and I don't mind that. To God be the glory. Amen. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Bless you. Bless you, Chanel. God bless you. Is there another? Is there another? Is there another? Is there another? If you don't have a church home, if you don't have a church home, if you don't have a church home, we want to offer you a place of worship. Maybe you've been visiting with us for a while and you've heard the Lord say, yes, but now you just need to arise and go. But more importantly than membership is relationship. And so I want to invite someone today to have a personal relationship with the Father. Here's what distinguishes us from other religions. Other religions, right, have a name for God. Allah, whatever the name may be. But no other religion speaks about the intimacy of relationship with a Father. And so you can know a Father through the Son. And that's what I want to offer you today. And so I want to invite you, whoever you may be. And here's the part I love. The angels in heaven rejoice. They throw a party. Yes, they do. They celebrate when one person comes forward and says, I'm sorry, God. I surrender. I submit.
And if you're that one person, we want to celebrate today. That's why when y'all see someone walking down, and even if it's one of our members like Chanel, right? Because you never know what they're going through, and you don't know what shoes they've been walking in, and you don't ever know, nobody knows but you, what you've been through. So let's celebrate. Have enough to say it's bigger than me. I'm going to celebrate for you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Go ahead and sing, choir. And as they sing, these two invitations are extended to somebody. Anyone else here today? Anyone else here today?